All right, into hour number two, a tremendous Tuesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in the Rocket Mortgage Studios in Southern California. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, you know that Rocket can. As I mentioned, back to back to back. So far, so good. We start hour number two by talking some hockey. We are joined right now by the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. He was named GM effective September 1st, 2019. Previously, had served as assistant GM. Before joining Vegas, he was owner, governor, GM, and head coach of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Vegas and Colorado living up to all the hype. They're tied up at two games apiece. Vegas is at Colorado this evening, 9 p.m. Eastern. Kelly McCrimmon is my guest. Kelly, it's so good to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing real good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for doing it, Kelly. Great to have you. So Colorado jumped out to that 2-0 lead in the series. Then you go back home. You beat them two straight. How good did it feel to be back in front of your home fans in that raucous house and to get those two wins?
Well, home ice was a big part of it for us in game three and four. We've gradually increased our capacity throughout the season. Game three was the first that we'd been at full capacity, so we were over 18,000 both game three and game four. And when you look at game three, trailing late in the third period, you have to ask yourself, when that one's over, we did come back and score twice in 45 seconds to have a 3-2 win. The fans are a big part of that. I don't know that you do that in an empty building or away from home. So it was great to have full capacity in T-Mobile. It's a great home rink.
Hey, by the way, one interesting point you just made, and I was going to ask you about the fans, but to that point, I mean, before Game 3, Colorado had won six straight playoff games, and they had not lost in the postseason this year, and they had barely even trailed. They had that lead, as you point out, in the third period. So what did your guys show you in the way they battled back in the third?
Well, we needed, I kept thinking to myself as the third period went on when they took the lead, we needed somebody to make a play. We needed somebody to make a play. And, of course, when you get deeper into the playoffs and you're playing really good teams, that's what you need is people to step up when needed. And Jonathan Marchessault was able to tie the game for us. Jonathan's had a great series. He had three goals again the next game. And then shortly after he scored to tie the game, the building was, very energized. Max Pacioretty deflected a Nick Holden shot to give us the 3-2 lead, which stood up as the winner. So, somebody to make that play, I think, is really what we were looking for. Unfortunately, Jonathan Marchessault was able to do that for us.
Kelly McCrimmon joining us. Exactly right. Like, you need somebody to make a play. Chances are it's going to be that guy. Then the team follows up that Game 3 win with that 5-1 win, and he had a hat trick in that game. Like, how huge was he in that situation? And then what do you make of the way the team performed overall in Game 4?
Well, we played really well in both. To be honest, we played really well in Game 2, which was a 3-2 loss to Colorado in overtime. So we went home down two games to zero. Obviously, Game 3 was a huge win to get us back in the series. Game 4 was probably our most complete game. And in that game, William Karlsson's line. So when you look at the makeup of our team, we're in our fourth season. The one, a lot of things have changed, but the one thing that has been a constant since probably two or three weeks into season one was the line of Riley Smith, William Karlsson, and Jonathan Marchessault. So they played together for the most part entirely all four seasons, and their line really performed well in game two or game four, and with Marchessault's hat trick leading the way.
Kelly McCrimmon is joining us. Kelly, you mentioned the fans, and I want to get into that because what you have, but it's really curious to me to see the way the opposition always reacts to it. As an example, Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar said after the game, quote, "It's loud. It's hard to hear anything in there. You could tell by my voice just talking on the bench, just trying to call the next line. I'm losing my voice. There's a lot of noise in that building." And the reason I mention that is you don't have one of the best fan bases in hockey. You have one of the best fan bases, to me, in all of sports. And when you consider the relationship the team has with the community, it becomes even stronger. Like, how would you describe that relationship and the lift that everybody gets from that crowd?
Well, I think you've touched on it. It is just incredible, and it's unique. I've been in lots of loud buildings, but just the energy and the atmosphere and the party feel, the vibe, that comes out of our building. It's really intimate. The way that the building is built, it's tight. It's a 17,500 person seating capacity. Then with standing room puts us over 18. But they're on top of you, and they come to enjoy the game. And it's interesting. We'll oftentimes get fans from the visiting team, and our fans enjoy those people. It's they treat them well, which I don't think always happens when fans go on the road. But it's just a really good energy in the building. And to Jared Bednar's point, you couldn't talk to the guy beside you. It was that loud in there. And we rode that, and that gives our team energy, as you'd expect.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon. Of course, I want to ask you about Mark Stone. He was named the first captain in team history. I know that that's not a decision that was made lightly. And, in fact, the team had a lot of success without an official captain. So why was it important to give him the C? And then what kind of an impact have you noticed as a result?
Well, we had gone without a captain the first three seasons, and that was a little bit almost the identity of our team in the early stages was, we had 23 captains. We had players from all across the National Hockey League that were pushed to the curb by their existing team that came with something to prove. And it seemed to really be a good dynamic and a good way to have the leadership of those early teams formed. Derek Englund obviously was a huge part of our leadership group in the 3 years that he played. And it was working. I think we could have easily continued that way. But sometimes when you've got a guy you feel is the obvious guy, I think that you need to validate that person. And Mark has really grown in the role. We expected that he would. He's a player that's very passionate, leads by example, and yet is very humble. I think he'd put his own boundaries on what level of leadership he could provide wearing an A as opposed to wearing the C. And, for our organization, he's done exactly what we hoped he would do since being named captain, and that's provide leadership every night. And, of course, it's the key moments that you need that leadership when things aren't going well for your team or, just a different point in a game or a series now that we're in playoffs. You rely on that leadership. So he's got a lot of respect from his teammates, and he wants to win. He plays to win. That's what you expect of your leader.
We're talking to Kelly McCrimmon, and we'll do so for a couple of more moments. You mentioned the playoffs and where you are at this point. The way they're structured this year, the first two rounds are divisional play, which means you're facing a Colorado team that you're very familiar with. Other people around the league have said there are no secrets at this point in the season. Does it feel that way to you? Is it just strength against strength at this point?
It really does. This year, was unique for so many reasons, but the makeup of the schedule where, we played seven other teams eight times is very unique. Ordinarily, you play, of course, every team in the NHL, and you weighted more in your division and then more in your conference and then only home and away with the Eastern Conference. But it gave teams a chance to know each other inside out. We played Minnesota in round one, and it was the exact same. We had hard-fought games with Minnesota all season. They're a team that's always given us trouble, so that was a real challenge in the opening round. And then, Colorado is the President's Trophy winner, and they're an incredibly talented, deep team that is, dangerous. Every time they're a threat to score with their skill and their speed. So. It has helped us that we know the team as well as we do, as opposed to an ordinary year we would play Colorado three times. This year we played Colorado eight times. So in terms of, knowing what we can do, knowing what we cannot do, it's been helpful.
Hey, listen, really quickly, maybe you answered it, but I was going to say, from the outside, it seems crazy. Like, even though the two teams have been on a collision course, and we knew this, it still seems pretty crazy to have a second-round series between the two teams with the best record in the regular season. So what's it like for you and the organization to deal with that challenge this early in the postseason?
Well, we've known all year if we were going to move out of the Western Division that in all likelihood we were going to have to go through Colorado. So they felt the same, and it's a stiffer challenge than what you'd expect in round two, but it is what it is. So I also believe that playing the best teams makes you better. So Minnesota in round one, I think, helped us be prepared for this series because of the test they gave us. So maybe for ourselves or Colorado who comes out of this series, maybe it's going to help them for the subsequent round.
And then on top of that, Kelly, I would imagine the thinking's got to be in your locker room that they've got to deal with you, just like you got to deal with them. He is the GM of the Vegas Golden Knights, and what a great series this is. They're tied up at 2 games apiece, Vegas at Colorado this evening. Kelly, I really appreciate the conversation, and especially on a game night. Thanks so much for doing that, and good luck.
Yeah, you bet, Jim. Thanks very much for having me.
Great to have you. Thanks so much. Talking some hockey. Good hockey, too. Vegas Golden Knights GM Kelly McCrimmon. They have been an amazing jungle team ever since joining the league. Back to back to back. We had Greg Berhalter. We had Xander Schauffele. We had Kelly McCrimmon. I could walk off on that, but I won't. I've got a lot of shows still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Got a fat segment coming up in a moment, and before I get there, let me just tell you what it's all about. The Smack-Off, of course. Everything between now and then is all about the Smack-Off. However, we've been doing Smack-Off player profiles almost every single day. Not yesterday, because I dropped Alvin's world-famous Smack-Off promo. One of the best he's done to date. 5 minutes of pure, uncut, unadulterated smack. It was beautiful. Today we come back with a different look, a different angle. The Smack-Off odds. They are not official odds. They are the odds from Stucknut. The next best thing to official, though. Because as I mentioned, the only person who knows more about this show than me, the guy who's been here for every single show, is Stucknut. And I would even venture a guess that the guy does know more about the show than I do. He's put in the time. So when we come back, I'll break it down. Stucknut's odds. And now phone lines are open. 1-800-636-8686. Murray AC Month is going on right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So if your AC is blowing hot air, you need immediate relief. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get up to a $100 gift card after mail-in rebate when you purchase a Murray AC compressor, accumulator or dryer, expansion device and condenser. There is no need to sweat it when the parts you need are only a few clicks away at O'ReillyAuto.com. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online, pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts, advice from their professional parts people, and their free loaner tool program. Your O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available to rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Just stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts, ask about their free loaner tool program, or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Smack-Off odds coming up momentarily. But you know what I always say, right? That one of the D-baggiest things that anybody could ever do is cut the line. In fact, I'm this close to putting that on the list of reasons to go. Somebody cutting the line. Except, despite that fact, and I don't want to be a hypocrite, I allow it on this show. If you've won the Smack-Off, or I think you're going to make this show better, I allow you to cut the line. You know, why would I leave you on hold? If I leave somebody on hold who might make it better, they'll hang up. If I leave somebody on hold who I know won't make it better, they never hang up. That's the nature of the game, right? You follow me? That said, I'll get to the Smack-Off odds, but only after I go to a former champ. Because being a champ has perks and bennies. Why don't we go to Huntington Beach? HB. Silk bra. What's going on, bra?
Hey, Jimmy. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm great.
Good. Hey, listen, I got two questions for you, and I'll take them off the air. First question is, when you're doing an interview and you ask a guy a question, he says, hey, that's a great question. What does he think? That's not going to be a great question. And two, if you take your perfectly clean car to a car wash and drive it in through backwards, does it come out dirty? Come on.
That's not a good car. No. You don't like that car.
I don't like that car.
not a very good call.
Hey, hey, fake silk. You know I'm trying to get to the Stucknut Smackoff odds, right? So why would you make that call in that spot? Come on!
Come on.
This dude. The fake silk. Go ahead, clones. Do what you always do. The fake silk, so much better than the real silk. Come on.
Come on.
All right, so I got a quick question for you. He had a question for me, and now I've got a question for you. Do you want to be on national television? And do you want to do so in the easiest way imaginable? Just go ahead and marinate on that for a moment, and then I'll come back to it in a second. We are now 17 days and 13 shows away from the 27th version of the Smackoff. Yesterday, if you missed it, Alvin DeLauro premiered his annual main event promo, and it was a monster, arguably as good as he has ever done. Now, there's no guarantee I'm going to drop the needle on that thing again today, but if you're looking for it and you missed it, you can find the entire thing right now on my Instagram page. The handle over there is the same as my Twitter handle, at Jim Rome. If you missed the Smackoff promo, go to my Instagram page, at Jim Rome. I keep telling you, follow the IG feed too, because I'm populating it with good content. And some of the content that you cannot get anywhere else. Content that doesn't work here. Content that does not work on Twitter. So we're getting closer and closer to the Smackoff every single day. While the event is a tradition itself, there are other traditions around the tradition, right? Like the Smackoff odds from the man himself, Stephen H. Town, a.k.a. Stucknut. The Stucknut. The nut is a tradition. Quick word on Stucknut. And I don't say this enough. My man Steve, that is your name, right, Steve? Just kidding, Nut. This dude's a legend. He is a legend. I mean, he really is. We're talking about a super fan to the show who, as I mentioned earlier today, probably knows more about the show than even I do. He's like our own personal Wikipedia page, keeping audio archives on just about everything that happens around here. He cuts it up, he labels it, he posts it for the masses to consume and talk about. And here's why I really, really appreciate the Nut. You'd think that a guy like that would be a combo of weird, annoying, entitled, overbearing, looking to get paid, big-time nerd, stalker, weirdo. Man, he's none of these things. The Nut is none of these things. Just a really good dude who's done a really good job at keeping the conversation going off air for the diehards of the program. And frankly, I respect the ever-loving hell out of that. Thank you, Nut. Man, thanks for everything. What's not to love about a good dude being in charge of the biggest and best unaffiliated fan page of the program? So, Steve, shout out to you, my man. You were Reddit before there was Reddit. Anyway, I mentioned Stucknut because the Nut has posted his annual Smackoff odds. And these are always a topic of great conversation. Always a topic of conversation every single Smackoff season because they make one or two people at the top of the board really happy and about 20 others really pissed off. Including Rick in Buffalo, who called back in 2019 as soon as he saw the odds right before Smackoff 25.
Well, I saw Stucknut posted his Smackoff odds the other night, and obviously that dope knows nothing about the show. He's got those two Canadian lames going off at 10-1. I wouldn't touch those hacks at 100-1. And I couldn't believe Caleb in Green Bay opened at 5-1. That's a bigger stretch than that doughboy trying to squeeze into a pair of size 48 Levi's. Maybe you should just bring your mom on again this year, fat boy, and she can apologize for being such a failure as a parent.
Rick, one of a dozen callers who has brought the Stucknut Smackoff odds from the internet to the airwaves. Hell, in Alvin's most recent promo, you hear a clip of Mike in Indy bitching about them. The reason the players care so much about them is because they are published by somebody who knows the show better than anybody, so the players know that the odds are accurate. You know what I'm saying? Normally you see a line, and the line is reflective of how many people are betting, how much money on what side. or maybe it's a personal bias. The reason people get so pissed is because they know that this guy knows. Essentially, the odds are like a preseason top 25 coaches poll or a list of the power rankings that drop in training camp. It's not the objectivity that makes everybody mad. It's the subjectivity, except that this guy knows what he's talking about, right? So why don't we take a look? Keep in mind, these odds in absolutely no way affect how I or the XR4TI judge the event. Don't worry about Ritt. I don't let him vote. All right, you can play along, old man. I just like to talk about them because they give me something to talk about, right? And this platform is a little bit bigger, not necessarily better, but a little bit bigger than Stucknut.com. And you know me, I'm here to dump gasoline on the Smackoff fire every day until the 25th. And what? You think I'm going to handicap the thing myself? I can't do that, right? There is your inherent conflict of interest. I need to be completely objective. But this guy's got his own point of view. So again, this is for entertainment purposes only. This in no way impacts how I see the event, how I judge the event, how I hear the event. This is just a guy with a point of view that knows a hell of a lot about the program, off to the side, posting odds, just like any of you could. He just has a bigger platform. So, having said all of that, there is your disclaimer. In no way does this color how I see or hear anything. You should know that. No surprise here, but your co-betting favorites are Brad and Corona and the defending champ, Lef and Laguna, both of them going off at 2-1. Now, that sounds about right for a couple of dudes who have evenly split each of the last six titles. Right below that, you've got Benny and Wisco, last year's third-place finisher. There's some value there, 4-1. So you want to talk about respect. Check out Benjamin getting 4-1 odds in the three-hole coming into his fifth Smack-Off, and I'm going to say there's still value there. That's not a bad number at all. Right under Benny, another Wisconsinite, Caleb in Green Bay, 5-1. Rick in Buffalo, 5-1. So Stucknut's top five betting favorites are from Cali, Wisconsin, and Buffalo. Let me remind you right now, neither Wisconsin nor the state of New York have ever won a Smack-Off. Moving down the board, Mark in Hollywood, Shawnee, both 6-1. And this is where you can see how and why the players start to get pissed, right? Mark and Sean are both former champs. Hell, Shawnee's won it five times. And they're both looking up at three guys who've never won it in Benny, Caleb, and Rick. Now, think about the Nut. The Nut's been at this a long time. The Nut plays it pretty straight. I don't think the Nut's out here hot taking it in bleep, right? But isn't that interesting? A couple of guys that have won it, what, six times between them? Looking up at three guys who've never won it. Even further down the board, at 7-1, you've got two more former champs, Mike in Indy and Victor in NoCal. Now, I don't know if Mike's odds are what they are because you have to factor in the possibility that he doesn't show up. Or if Mike's odds are what they are because we've only heard from him once in the last 24 months. And that's true. Either way, somewhere, Mikey's pissed. Whether he does something about it or not remains to be seen. Then you've got Mark in Boston. Oh, and looky here, Jeff in Southfield going off at 8-1. I like both those guys a lot, but I see the Nut working. Not a lot of experience for either of them, and the results are borderline Canadian so far in their young careers. That said, each of them has the game to cash that 8-1 ticket. Then you got a couple of more legends. Aya Frady and Jeff from Richmond, both 9-1. I mentioned value earlier. You want to talk about some real value. How about Aya Frady? 9-1? Jeff from Richmond, 9-1. 9-1 on a couple of former champs who recently had great appearances in 2020 and had a good time doing it. I have it on good authority. So there's some value there. You know, think of those guys, and I don't want to say they're fat and bloated. One of them is. Just kidding, Jeff. Think of those guys. Love you, Jeff. All good, brother. think of those guys like is hefty. They're dangerous, man. They could still win it all. Even if you think they can't. That's what people said about less hefty. And then Hefty did what he did. I'm telling you, I'm not going to lie. I do love seeing the legends get some respect a couple of decades after they each started calling the program. Matt in Vancouver, 12-1. Yeah, I don't know about that. No disrespect, Matty. Listen, nobody wants to see Canada do better than I do. But it's hard to ignore the past four events.
These asinine, stucknut, smack-off odds. This 40-year-old loser has done nothing but record your content for 20 years and put it on his own website. And that's somehow an accomplishment for this virgin. It's pathetic.
All right, so now we've arrived at the first true controversy off the smack-off odds. The stucknut smack-off odds. Not that, but this. Stucknut has got Cal in Vegas at 13-1. 13-1. Yeah, I don't know if you have a beard, Steve-O, but if you do...
I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
It's not so much the odds. It's that Stucknut has Cal in Vegas looking up at Matt and Van, Vic and NoCal, Rick in Buffalo, and Caleb in Green Bay. I'm not saying that the nut is wrong. I'm not saying that the nut is right. I'm saying that Cal is going to be pissed. The nut just put 15 callers in front of Cal. 15. And knowing Cal the way I know Cal, he's going to threaten to knock all 15 the hell out and rip beards off their faces and make them eat it.
I'm going to rip that beard off your face and make you eat it.
So let me quickly hit the rest of the board. There are 7 golden ticket holders right now. Tyler in Edmonton leads the class at 15-1. Paul's dog bringing up the rear, 22-1. Damn, Steve. You trying to die on Dog Hate Hill with Hawk? Here's what's really great about this board from the nut. JT the Brick, Ira Craig, Jason in Fullerton, Jeffrey Totola, and Jim in Fall River are all longer shots to win the smack off than the damn dog. Pretty awesome. So you have all that. Scattered in between the golden ticket callers and the mutt, you'll see names like Silk, Dan in Denver, Gino in San Antonio, Terrence in Sierra Madre. Man, Terrence, I'm here for you still. Again, Terrence, all you have to do is call in and claim a golden ticket. Now, knowing you, Terrence, you don't even know what a golden ticket is. Somebody should dial this guy in. Terrence, you are still welcome to partake, but you have to claim the ticket. There you have it. Your 2021 smack-off odds, courtesy of the front page of stucknut.com. If you have a problem with those odds, good. I hope you do. It's not my issue. The point of me spending all that time on that is to generate some conversation. I hope you've got a problem, and I hope you've got a take on that problem, and I hope you air it out. Speaking of on the air, remember when I asked you if you want to be on national TV? Here is your chance. We are bringing back the Smack Off prediction videos. Hey, you thought that I was going to say that you had to be a part of the field? No. We're bringing back the Smack Off prediction videos. What that means is, if you want to call your shot, if you want to predict the winner of Smack Off 27, if you want to be on TV doing it all you have to do is film yourself and send it in. Grab your phone. Shoot a 20-second video telling the jungle who you think is going to win Smack Off 27. You can talk junk on other Smack Off callers if you want. Just make sure you give us a winner. Do what you want, but keep it clean. Do what you want, but keep it under 20 seconds. Do what you want, but make sure you call your shot. Also, one more thing, film it horizontally. And one more thing, did I mention, make it clean, make it appropriate. It is daytime, national TV. Yeah, I know that you heard me on a stream, live stream last week, Get Loose. That was there. This is here. We can't do that here. This is daytime national TV. We are not airing anything that crosses the line. No swearing, no smoking, no drinking, no inappropriate clothing. Keep it clean, keep it legit, keep it tight. If you can do all that, send it ASAP. here is your address. SmackOffVideos@gmail.com. SmackOffVideos@gmail.com. We will be airing these on CBS Sports Network, coming back from our commercial break starting this week. Get to it. Get after it. There are your odds. Courtesy of Stucknut. Steve-O, sincerely from me to you, there really is no legitimate way for me to thank you, but thank you for everything, bro. You've been amazing for the show over the years. And he's back with his odds. All right, let's break. Yeah, I would tell you there's a sports update right now, but I don't know if that's true. I think there is. Let's find out. Here you go.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The next generation of paint protection is here. New 303 graphene nano spray coating will provide up to 12 months of professional level protection. Insane water beating and jaw-dropping shine with one simple application. Visit 303radio.com for more information. This just in. Aaron Rodgers did not report to Packers minicamp. Breaking news. Now, breaking news would have been if he did show up. I mean, does that surprise anybody at all? Of course he didn't show up. And I don't mean that as anything other than stating the obvious. Who thought he was coming? We know that there's a real problem between he and the team hasn't fixed that yet. All right, so I've got my thoughts on that momentarily. Before I get there, let me get to some of the reaction, kind of bring you up to date with what's going on here. Hey, Rome, the entire jungle world can immediately tell if it's silk or the fake silk. What the hell is the matter with the phone slap? Mike and Snowbird. I mean, I don't know. Is that rhetorical or is that an actual question? Is that a question? Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Well, let's find out.
Is that a real question?
Is that a real question?
Yeah.
Mike and Snowbird?
Well, is that a question?
Is that a question, Mike?
Of course.
Yeah.
Let's find out. I'll go to the quote phone slap. Hey, Adam. Adam is the EP. Let me read you this. Hey, Rome. The entire jungle world can immediately tell if it's silk or the fake silk. What the hell is the matter with phone slap? Adam, what the hell is the matter with you?
Oh, what's the matter with you, Mike? It's called a joke, dude. We've been doing it for years here. I'm pretty sure when fake silk calls in and he tells me it's fake silk and the area code tells me it's fake silk and it sounds nothing like real silk and we put it on, it's to make all of you guys laugh and to set up a joke. But you're making me explain it now because you're the idiot who emailed in saying, how could I not know? Mike, I've been doing this in radio for 11 years. I know how to screen a phone call. It's just a joke. We're just having fun here. Is that okay with you, Mike?
Wow. Is that a question?
Yeah.
Is that a real question, Adam? Question?
Explaining the bit is never fun, but like these people who get hooked by it, like I just sit there like I've done it 20 times, giving you the wrong caller 20 times, and I just every single time it's like I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm going to agree with you on this one. And you know what the worst part about that is? I would say there's only one dope who doesn't get the joke, but you know that's not true.
Right.
There's just one dope, and I like Mike.
I do too.
As much as I know Mike, but that's the only dope that we've seen. Right? I guarantee he's not the only one thinking that.
Right. But imagine writing that email, like taking time to be like, wow, I don't get the joke, so I'm going to...
And now everybody knows you don't get the joke.
Right. Now I'm going to accuse someone else of not getting it.
And Hawk got over. How's that feel, Mike? All right. Well done, Adam.
Question?
So it's, quote, it's called a joke. We've been doing it for years.
Come on.
Come on!
Come on.
Cal in Vegas is in. Cal in Vegas responds with, quote, even Jim thinks all you guys at Stucknut are bleeped in the head. First of all, I don't know that there's guys, right? Actually, that's not true. Pooldock and Headstrom Bacon do work for the nut. I didn't say you're bleeped in the head. I just said that Cal, I didn't say that. I said there's controversy, right? That's not an opinion, but that's a fact. There's controversy, Cal, and I know that you're going to want to beat the crap out of the 15 guys ahead of you or the three guys who made 15 guys ahead of you or all 18 guys, Cal. Dear Jim, It'd be great to see a Canadian smack-off winner. $5,000 in American money will buy an awful lot of round bacon. Right. And denim. And maple syrup. Yeah, I haven't heard of this in a long time. Hey, Rome. Stucknut site rules. Instead of spending an hour trying to explain to my wife how a hillbilly from Pearland choked on his own spit while singing about a man named Israel and somehow won a TV by doing that on a national sports radio show, I just pulled up the take box and Stucknut does it for me. War the take box. Chad in Orlando, well said.
Look here, Israel, you want to know how to rap? Let me show you, Bubba. Let me throw it down. Texas is the home of the ballers and pimps. Straight out the womb home, boy. We walking with the lip. Not because we lame, because we hung like Tory. Yeah, you know the story. I got a Bodhi motif painted on my hood. I ain't sporting gold teeth because they made out of wood. So when I chat my teeth, you think I'm knocking at your door. Come strong, Israel, because your ass in a war. Well, dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog. But anyway, Bubba, that's it. I think I won with that little rap. I love you, Bubba, and I'm going to keep listening.
Wow. Man, you forget the context. You forget the entire rap. Because we always play him choking on his spit. I forgot how good that was. Start to finish. Of course he won. It's amazing. Jimmy. I think that Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer did an excellent job at making in-game adjustments last night. Thanks. Mike in Indy smack-off calls. Chris in Milwaukee. Man, this is a big, big Mike Budenholzer house. I love the guy. I do. Having said that, I don't love what I'm seeing. I don't love what happened last night to them. And it's been a rough off-season, quote, for jungle coaches. So I suspect Game 3 is going to go differently, even though I hyped the Nets, and I'm amazed by how well they're playing. Actually, not amazed, but impressed. Game 3 is going to be different. Now, of course, I would have said the same about Game 2, but Game 3 is going to be different. Dear Jim, Stucknut's odds, not good.
Not good.
Below not good.
Below not good.
Signed females. Casey in New Hampshire, worst Stucknut, practicing French kissing on the back of his hand. Casey, the hell does any of that even mean? They're for entertainment only, entertainment purposes only. No one's getting paid on this. Evan in Oregon, Hawk went Elvis LeBron on Mike and Snowbird. Elvis LeBron. Again, I don't think we really want to make light of somebody taking a baseball bat to somebody else. That is quite a name, though, isn't it? Elvis LeBron. And it did give Alvin one of his best drops. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. Dear Jim, I agree with Mike. It is so obvious that it's the fake silk. Regards, the guy who got hooked by the cockfighting bit.
I haven't been listening to you all that long, but I can't believe you're talking about this cockfighting stuff. You know, they fight to the death. They don't just fight.
Right.
Don't you think that's disgusting for kids to see?
No, not at all. What's your point?
Ridiculous, I think.
Ridiculous? You're calling totally ridiculous. You're calling me wanting to give something back to the community ridiculous.
That should be
illegal. How is trying to help kids ridiculous? Let me ask you that.
You shouldn't even be allowed to talk about that.
How
kids
is trying...
watching fighting to the death? You're crazy, man.
Tony, I'm not crazy, by the way. What I'm asking you is, how is helping kids ridiculous? If that's ridiculous, then yeah, I'm ridiculous.
That's not helping kids. It's hurting them, Rome. And he shouldn't be talking about it on the radio, man.
I love this dude so much. Like, he and I should be friends. Like, I want to go out and have a few pops with Tony. Good morals, high character, good ethics. Man, my man is a good dude. He doesn't get the joke, but he's a good dude. Maybe not that bright, but a good dude. My point was, in doing that, and I was able to prove the point quite easily, And long before the world changed and people started doing crazy things just to get other people to look at them and react to them, the point that I was trying to make, and I made it within the staff, and I said, wait, watch this. Let's do this. Watch this. I can prove this point. I can say the most absurd thing imaginable, and somebody will believe it. In fact, more than one person will believe it.
Hey, y'all, watch this.
Lots of people will believe it, and they'll freak out over it, and they'll want to fight. So I just started making things up and saying them on the air, because after all, if it's in the newspaper, it must be true. If it's on the internet, it must be true. If it's on the radio, it must be true. Hence, I started my own foundation, Cockfights Across America. And I was going to take it on the road and raise money for underprivileged kids. And Tony's like, they fight to the death, Rome. What are you talking about?
That's not helping kids.
I'm like, Tony, what are you talking about, Tony? I'm trying to get back here. No, you're not. They fight to the death, man. They put little razor blades on their feet. And they cut each other. Hey, Hawk. This is a reaction. Dear Hawk, I know you know. I've been listening to The Jungle since before your balls dropped. But as with Rex in ABQ, hearing fake Silk or Rex is predictable, tedious, and zero kind of funny. Dead air is better than those two clowns. Cheers, bud. Mike and Snowbird.
Come on.
Come on, Mike.
Come on.
Come on, Mike. Hey, Mike, it's Rex. Hey, Mike, you know what a swirly is? Hey, Mike, is that twice now that you're admitting you have no sense of humor? Dude, you're kind of funny. Yeah, I expect more from you, Mike. Stop doing this, man. You're digging. You're digging a hole you'll never get out of. Let's go to hour number three. Who knows what's next? My thoughts on Aaron Rodgers, for sure. Stay tuned.